Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hello, 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 up and down the Cusco. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. Grady Deaton here, Coffee at KYUK. Joining me, Katie Basil. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Grady. So on Monday, May 4th, elective medical and dental procedures were allowed to resume at hospitals and clinics around Alaska. Here with us to talk about which procedures are resuming and how to access care safely at Yukon Kuskokwim Health Corporation facilities is Public Information Officer Mitchell Forbes and Chief of Staff Dr. Ellen Hodges. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So revised state health mandates allowed for elective procedures to resume on Monday. Is YKHC resuming elective procedures, and if so, which ones?
Great. Thanks, Katie. Yes, we resumed all elective procedures in dental on Monday. We've resumed routine visits in optometry and therapy services last week, but none of those procedures or services really generate aerosols, so it's just really the dental procedures that generate aerosols.
Okay. And how is YKHC keeping providers and patients safe from possibly spreading COVID-19?
So we've done a lot of different employee health protocols that are specifically related to COVID-19, including a mandatory 14-day quarantine period for all employees after any out-of-region travel. All employees and patients entering the hospital receive screening for respiratory symptoms. So when you come in the hospital, the greeter will ask you if you have any respiratory symptoms. We also have a universal masking policy so that everyone, staff and patients alike, has to wear a mask as soon as they enter the hospital and keep the mask on at all times. And we offer testing to anyone who has symptoms, who comes in and they say, yes, I do have symptoms, then we immediately offer them testing.
Okay, and you mentioned that some medical procedures are remaining closed. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. So we do have the capacity to do things like colonoscopies, mammographies, and things like that. We're delaying the reopening of those services, and the main reason for that is to preserve local infrastructure and to allow for capacity in case we have a COVID-19 surge. With the state reopening, we don't know if we'll suddenly get an increase in cases. We've only had that one positive in our region, but we're always sort of on the alert for another one. And if that happens and we have to increase our capacity, we want to have some reserve left in our system.
Okay, so it sounds like you don't want to do any procedures that would sort of take up space in the hospital that may need to be reserved for COVID-19
cases.
Correct. Okay. So I'm also curious about procedures that aerosolize, which is a new word for me, but it sounds like that's when a fine spray is created from the mouth. So did you say that all dental procedures that aerosolize are still not happening at YKHC?
We are doing those procedures that are necessary, that are urgent or emergent. So we are offering those. So people with significant swelling and pain are being offered the opportunity to have those procedures done. All those people require to, according to Mandate 15, which we are complying with, do have to have a negative COVID test prior to the procedure. So we are testing those patients with our rapid test before they get that procedure done, if that procedure is required.
Okay. And which dental procedures are those that create that spray?
That's a good question. So anything that involves the use of the hand drill and anything, so they have a machine that can be used to clean the teeth that creates a fine spray, like an ultrasonic cleaner. And then anytime they have to have drilling done, those are the things that generate aerosols that have to be, those people have to be tested. So people can have, they can have hand tools, they can have their teeth cleaned without the use of that ultrasonic cleaner, and they can have exams. There's a lot of orthodontics procedures that don't generate aerosols. So adjusting of orthodontia, making dentures, things like that that don't generate any fine spray or generate any of those kinds of particles. Those are definitely, those people don't necessarily have to be tested, but anyone who needs like a filling or a root canal or certain types of tooth extractions. So if you just need like a simple extraction, that doesn't generate a lot of that fine spray. But if someone needs a surgical extraction, which is a little more involved, those people have to be tested.
Okay. And is that with that 48-hour requirement, so the test result has to be negative within 48 hours of the procedure, does that mean that YKC would need a rapid test for those patients?
Yep. Okay. So we rapid test those patients. But I also should mention that we screen people before the appointment. So if a patient has symptoms, we ask them about that on the phone, and they don't get scheduled for an appointment until we have assessed that and figured out why they have symptoms, or if they have out of region travel, and then they get screened again when they come into the hospital for their appointment. The registration people ask them again, so we're just trying to be as cautious and as conservative as we possibly can. So if someone's having a cough or runny nose or symptoms that could be suggestive of COVID, we don't schedule the appointment unless it's a life-threatening emergency, which can happen in dental or other procedures. So those people, we're trying to not schedule their procedure unless it truly is life-threatening.
Okay. And on that note, can you kind of walk me through the process that dental patients at YKC will go through when arriving for an appointment?
Great. So when they call for an appointment, the front desk asks them about symptoms, and then they screen for risk factors like out-of-region travel. Then they get booked for their appointment. If it's if we know, like, in advance that it could potentially generate an aerosols-generating procedure, we refer them first for COVID testing. So we have a tent outside of our hospital where the patients get an appointment and they go get tested, typically the day before the procedure is done. If they arrive at the hospital, say, for a walk-in appointment, and we don't know whether or not they're going to need an aerosol-generating procedure, so they come in and they have pain or they need an exam or something like that, and then during the process of evaluation we realize they need something that's going to require something that will generate that fine spray, then we test them at that moment they get tested. Mm-hmm. And then they wait for the results from our lab before they proceed with the procedure.
Okay. And you did mention that you're sort of holding beds for a possible increase in COVID-19 cases. Is that something that YKC is anticipating or just kind of getting ready for, just in case?
We're definitely getting ready for it. I mean, that's a really good question. I think there's just so many unknowns in this pandemic that we're just not sure. I guess I would expect, as the state is opening up and as people are moving out and not hunkering down, and people are, you know, interacting more with each other, I would expect there to be more spread of COVID-19. And that's why we've really stepped up our surveillance and our testing, for example, of all of the passengers who disembark off of a plane from Anchorage. We're offering them all testing. And that's sort of our plan, to try to capture anyone who is either pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic, as well as our symptomatic patients. So just really trying to increase our surveillance and so hopefully if someone does show up as positive, we can catch them as early as possible.
And a steep decline in patient numbers have led to layoffs and furloughs at YKC. Have patient numbers picked up since routine procedures reopened last week?
Hey, Katie, this is Mitchell. I can answer this one. So through our telehealth initiative and the recent reopening of routine procedures, like Dr. Hodges was just talking about, early data suggests that YKC's patient numbers are slowly increasing, but it's really too early to tell if this will be sustained. And it's important to remember that Health Mandate 15 has two phases. The second phase that includes pretty much not all dental procedures, but a lot of dental procedures, just began on Monday. And while we're making a concerted effort to ensure we provide all the care needed and desired for our patients, we want to remain vigilant about COVID-19 so we're able to protect the public's health.
Great. Thank you, Mitchell. We actually had our first interaction with telehealth yesterday. My 2-year-old had a wellness child check over the phone with Dr. Fisher, and it went really well. You know, and it was actually easier than going into the hospital. So I appreciate that service. How many COVID-19 tests has YKC done to date, and how many of those results are pending?
So So we've tested over 540 people, and over 180 of them are still pending. We only have still that one positive that we had at the beginning of April. No other tests have been positive. And I should mention that this includes testing in 28 of our villages. 28 different villages have submitted testing for us.
And so in those communities, you have health aides offering the test, and then they send the test in?
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. And then YKHC is offering testing at the airport, which you mentioned, to people arriving into Bethel, and there are now 5 flights a week on Alaska Airlines. What percentage of travelers are choosing to be tested?
That's a good question. About 40 to 45%. And I should mention that many of the other passengers who are choosing not to be tested have already been tested in Anchorage. So I would say another quarter of people are telling us they don't want to be tested on arrival here because they already received a negative test in Anchorage. So I feel very good about that.
Okay. And do you feel like we need to encourage people, more people to be tested as they come in? Is there anything we can do to kind of support people to make that decision?
Yeah, I think just the more people we can encourage to get tested, the better. I think working with our partners in the community, our corrections partners, our law enforcement partners, and trying hard to capture those people who would benefit from testing even if they don't have any symptoms is really, really important. YKHC is also testing all of our healthcare providers who are traveling out to villages. And I think everyone is interested in protecting our villages and keeping a positive person from getting to one of our villages and spreading the COVID-19. So we really are working carefully with our tribal partners too to keep the services that we provide in the villages to make sure they're safe so that people who are traveling from the outside to the villages have a negative test before they go.
And that's something that's really unique about our region is that we have sort of this door that opens and closes 5 times a week with our flights in, and that's, I'm grateful for that. And we're seeing some businesses open up as state health mandates are loosened. Do you have any recommendations for people in the region on what precautions to take as we sort of move forward into some state of normalcy?
Yeah, I think it's important to limit your interactions as much as possible with the public. Just because the state has reopened doesn't mean that you need to make 20 trips to the grocery store, for example. And when you're out in public, we're just really strongly encouraging people to wear masks. The point of wearing a mask is if you are an asymptomatic person or a pre-symptomatic person, the mask helps contain your respiratory droplets and protects those around you. It doesn't necessarily protect you as well from when people cough on you, but it keeps you from potentially infecting other people. I was up at the airport for our testing the other day and several times this week, and I noticed the vast majority of people are not wearing masks. And so I just would really strongly encourage everyone when they're out in public to wear a mask. It's just, especially if you're in a place where you think you might come in contact with other people. So people are out exercising, they're out running or walking their dogs, and they're not having close contact with other people. I don't think that's as critical. But certainly if you're going to be at the airport terminal, that it would be essential to have a mask on. Or if you're in a gathering of people that don't live in your household, we're just really strongly encouraging people to cover their face, wear a mask. That will help keep us all safe. And then just limiting your interactions with other people. The state has lifted a little bit of the hunker-in-place or shelter-in-place mandate, but not the physical distancing, not the staying 6 feet away from people that are not in your household. So I think that's really important for everyone to remember. This is how we're going to keep ahead of this curve. If we do get another case here, that's going to be absolutely critical to keep people safe.
And as far as masks go, I've seen everything from like a bandana around the face to what looks more like a surgical mask. What should we be thinking about as far as what our masks are made out of and I guess just what they're made out of?
That's a really good question. The CDC has an excellent area on its website on how to appropriately mask, how to use a bandana. But briefly, if it's a cloth mask, we like it to be two layers of cloth and tightly woven. So that so you're not using, for example, a knitted or crocheted mask. So something made out of fabric that's tightly woven and two layers of it. So if you're going to use a bandana, double layer the bandana, for example, and have it snug up against your face so that the so that most of your droplets, that if you were to sneeze or cough, most of the droplets would be contained by the mask. That's an excellent way to do that. And we also recommend you launder your cloth mask daily. If you can't launder it, if you don't have laundry, soaking it in a dilute bleach solution and then letting it dry completely is also acceptable.
Okay, and you said daily. So
yeah, daily.
Washing it daily. All right. And is there anything else either of you would like to share?
The only other thing, YKHC, we continue to provide updates on our website, ykhc.org/COVID-19 is our kind of COVID-19 page or section of our website. We have a lot of resources there. We have mask-making guidance there. We took the content from the CDC and put it into a post on our website. So I just really encourage folks to keep an eye on our website as well as our Facebook page for just more information about COVID-19 as we have it available.
And, of course, it would never be an appearance by me if I didn't mention everyone needs to wash their hands regularly with soap and water if it's available or with an alcohol-based solution if not. Avoid touching your face and mouth as much as possible. And in your home, wipe down high-touch areas regularly just to cut down on the number of virus particles that might be in your house. And I think one of the other things that Dr. Zink mentioned at a conference I listened to that she was at, keeping track of the people that you've been around on a daily basis will really help. If we get another positive case, being able to go back and immediately recall your close contacts is really important. So that's people that you've been in contact with who are not members of your household for more than 10 minutes, face-to-face contact. So just if you can keep a list of that around, if we ever have to contact you, God forbid, for contact tracing, that will make things go much more smoothly. And if that list is really long or you can't remember all those people, you're probably out and about too much.
Thank you so much. So wear a mask, wash your hands, and remember who you've been around. Thank you both so much. That was Public Information Officer Mitchell Forbes and Chief of Staff Dr. Ellen Hodges from the UConn Custom Clone Health Corporation. Thank you and have a great morning.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta.
Sometimes light, sometimes serious, coffee at KYK is where our community connects.
If you'd like to suggest a guest or arrange to be on with us yourself, contact us at coffee@kyuk.org or call 543-3131 today.